from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Great to be back, and great to be back at camp in Western New York in the Rochester area in the town of Pittsford here.
I love camp. I think we all know that. It's my favorite time of the year.
You know, you kind of benefit being, you know, here in a way and just, you know, kind of with everybody else.
And every team is a new team.
First practice already in the books. The thing that impressed me the most was the timing of the passing game today. The execution by the offense in the passing game was on point.
Mike Danger.
It is the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia here broadcasting live from St. John Fisher University. Bills Camp Live,
Gene Battaglia.
Look, if you are lucky enough to get over to Fisher, watch the Buffalo Bills, don't be a stranger. We're by the Pelicano Pavilion. We're in the Pelicano Pavilion, and if you make your way around there, you'll be able to find us.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia as we continue live from Buffalo Bills training camp, St. John Fisher University, under the shelter of the Pelicano Pavilion, which earlier today was taking a beating. I mean, it came down pretty hard this afternoon before we got on the air at 3.
You know, how many times has it actually happened during a practice? People wonder, why do you do it in the morning? They have had some good fortune because that was a little thunderstorm that came through. We did see lightning in the area, and that was really a cloudburst. But we were under the pavilion here. Happened, 1:30, 2 o'clock around there that time. The practice long wrapped up. Fans and long left Fisher here.
Tip the cap to our colleagues at One Bills Live who are set up just arm's reach from us. It's downpouring in a thunderstorm. Those guys didn't even break note. I mean, they were right. They were no distractions with those guys. Focused, dialed in, true professionals. And then we come on after they do. And it's like, we're here to mess everything up. That's what we do here in the sports.
Well, I tell people, like Steve Tasker. Like, he is the sideline reporter for the Super Bowl where literally they have a power outage and the broadcast goes dark. They can't get the broadcast booth up, but there's Tasker on the sideline and you have to fill 3 minutes. Go. You're talking to the nation.
Yeah.
That's a pro's pro.
Yeah, he can do it, and Brownie can do it well. You know, with that rain coming down the way it was coming down, those guys didn't break stride at all. And you can hear them, of course, every afternoon here on The Fan Rochester. All right, so what did we learn today? We had our first practice. It's in the books. The Bills are healthy. Nobody starting training camp on the physically unable to perform list. We heard from Sean McDermott before practice, and then after practice, we heard from Josh Allen. We heard from Terrell Bernard. We also heard from Bills general manager Brandon Bean.
Yeah, so Brandon Bean, which we'll get to here in a little bit, right out of the gate, Josh Reed from WIVB, who, by the way, will be joining us tomorrow on the show, asking him the question again. This came courtesy of ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, who basically said, hey, an unnamed executive questions Josh Allen and says he's overrated. Okay, the unnamed executive. And I remember asking Mike Catalan about that. Like, what's the line when it comes to reporting and the unnamed source and stuff like this? This is, let me whip up a story here and get everybody chatting about it.
Yeah, I think you want to be able to put your name on it, which didn't really happen with this specific quote, this specific story. But that was one of many things. Brandon Bean, addressed when he spoke to the media earlier today here at St. John Fisher University. In case you missed it, Bills general manager Brandon Bean.
There's an NFL executive who reportedly called Josh Allen overrated. Thoughts on that?
Josh, I don't know where to start. It's frustrating. You try to ignore this stuff, but Josh is going into year seven, and there's still the naysayers. I don't get it. If I was going to use rated, I would say underrated before I would say overrated. And I know I'm biased. He's our guy, and love him every single day. These things that come out there, I know people love the rankings of whoever, but when you don't put your name to it and you make comments like that, like, who is this executive? Executive is a loose term. I was probably referred to as executive well before I should have been. And so I just say, if you're not going to put your name on it, we really shouldn't validate it. I know it gets validated because it's on ESPN, and you know, I'm not a fan of that style, and you know, I wish the writer wouldn't include a comment like that. I don't think Josh deserves that. And again, I'm biased, but I'm tired of hearing it.
Why would you think anybody would think that? I mean, I know you can't put yourself in the guy's shoes, but what would lead anybody to believe that he's overrated, given what he's done?
Sal, there's idiots everywhere.
Right?
I don't know. Till you put your name on it, I don't know. I think he's done plenty. But I think part of it, Sal, truthfully, is there are people that did not, we all are well aware when Josh came out, there are people that thought he was a bust or would not make it for all the reasons that they've listed over the years. And I just think anytime someone thinks they got a crack, they're going to say, see, I told you so. See, they're looking for things. You can look at any player in any sport and point out negatives. No one is God or a robot. But Josh's positives don't even come close to the negatives. And so for what he's done for this team, for what he's done in this league and his own accomplishments, to say he's overrated and to point out a flaw here or there is... it's ignorant.
As much as you don't like the comment, knowing what Josh is made up of, how much might it help? Maybe not even help, but just as a reminder that there's still some people out there that think this.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Josh is he's always felt the naysayers. I don't think there's a year in the league that I know of where someone doesn't want to point out something with him. I mean, even going back to some of his early games, either a rookie or second-year guy, he would make plays in a game, but if he made a dumb throw or, you know, something like that, he could have helped us win the game, but that's the highlight or lowlight that they want to show because that validates, you know, their thoughts and views on him. I don't know. Again, we've ignored it for so long, and I think the local media, you guys have all see Josh and realize not only is he a hell of a player, how great he is in his role. It's so hard to be a quarterback and have his status, and he stays after and signs every freaking autograph, and he's perfect in the role. We're lucky as hell to have him, and I get frustrated with it. But Josh he's got a natural chip, John, and I don't think whether this person said this would change that. I think he's coming in this year with a chip. He wants a title. He wants it. Every year that we don't win it, it's digging a deeper chip, and I think that's what motivates him.
More broadly as a team, how aware, how much do you care, put a chip on? Maybe the way a lot of outsiders are talking about your team and the expectations for what they could possibly accomplish this season in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar, John. Like, there's been some years where they said we're the favorite or we're supposed to win. That doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. Every team is a new team, and I know that's, you know, coach speak or GM speak, whatever you want to say. But this is a team that's has a lot of new faces, both sides of the ball. But, you know, this is what camp is so important. So I love being here. This gives us a chance to, obviously, we can work on any game field or practice field, but we can bond here, and I think that's what Sean and I really value about going away and sitting in the CAF. You know, I just walked out of the CAF, and there's guys sitting there. They're not rushing to get to the meeting and do honey-do list or get home. Their focus is solely on doing their job and getting better. And this is a new team that'll have to define itself. So whether people predict us to be, you know, 6-11 or 11-6 or whatever it is, it really won't matter. Once games start, that's what you guys are going to be writing and reporting about.
How excited was it for you to evaluate all these new faces and so many different variations?
It's always fun. I mean, camp has a different feel. There's an agent here that I was talking to after practice, and he was like, hey, you know, what camp is it, and how do you like this? And I'm like, it's totally different from years ago when you come out here and we would do 9-on-7 hitting drills, you know, 30 minutes off of vacation. Like, just as coaches wanted to see who had been working and who hadn't. But the rules probably for the better from an injury prevention standpoint. We do a ramp up. I mean, today's probably the shortest practice we'll have until we do a mock game before we play whoever our opener is, Chicago maybe. But so to me, this is just a continuation of the OTAs. Until we can get into pads and evaluate the 9-on-7 drills, the 1-on-1 pass rush, you know, because football is, this is not flag, this is tackle. And so there's a lot of evaluation coming up once we get through this acclimation period.
From the point you handed in the card to now, and I know it's only one practice here, has anything surprised you about Keon and what you've seen of him?
I didn't know he was as funny as he is. But I've had more texts from people all over the country I don't talk to. I don't know how good your guy is, but I sure love watching his interviews. And I'm like, well, hopefully his game matches his interviews. But he's smart. He works hard. He's competitive. And, again, I think that he will bring a physical element. He's got size. I think that'll be part of his game. I know they've been working a lot, even at the end of OTAs, on, you know, red zone stuff, jump, you know, fade balls. You know, obviously he'll have some chances to win on 3rd and 5, a slant or a, you know, whatever route, you know, Josh and Joe dial up. But I think hopefully as the pads come on that we see some of that versus what you're going to see in, you know, maybe you've got a speedster or a super quick, you know, Cole Beasley type or something like that.
Was it deliberate on your part at all, the way that you attacked cornerback this offseason, to come in here with, you have Rasul and Christian, Kyer working his way, and we see a lot of Jamarcus Ingram out there today. Not that, like, maybe veteran depth player that you've had in camps past. Was that deliberate to kind of get a look at Kyer and Jamarcus a little bit more, maybe some of the other young guys?
Yeah, I mean, we think we got some guys, and yeah, it's a big year for Kyer and Christian, both going into year three, our first full year with Rasul. But, you know, I think having Rasul as a cagey veteran he's seen the highs and the lows of this league, you know, from being drafted where he was drafted, a third-round pick, to being released on a practice squad and then working his way back up into a nice contract and a starter status, and, you know, obviously a guy that we traded for. So I think, you know, you got two guys there that are third-year players that they know everything to expect, and we're looking for them to both take another step, and then having Rasul here and then some young guys around it. But listen, if we see a veteran that we think we need to add and, you know, we can fit them in, we would do that. But we like the competition, too, that we have right now, Matt.
Damar was out there getting some reps with the ones today. I mean, aside from what happened, just as a player in his development in year four, what have you seen from him?
Yeah, he came back hungry. You know, one of the things he said to me, and I feel like he's said it to others, is I got through last year being like, you know, the first. I mean, right now we were still talking about it's going to be different when he puts pads on. It's going to be different that first hit. And then you got to get in a game in a stadium, you know, where that incident happened. No one's talking about that anymore. I know you're asking me the question because of that. But his focus was like, no, I want to go win a job. I want to show I can prove that I can start and help and make plays, and so that's been his focus, is, you know, Micah and Jordan are gone. There's new faces around, and don't forget about me. I can still do it.
What do you want to see out of Vaughn over the next 6 weeks to say, hey, he's sort of crossed that barrier and can be a productive player?
Yeah, I think similarly, you know, last year we were talking about Vaughn's ramp up and all that, Ryan. I think for him it's just seeing that explosive twitch that we saw a little bit. I think even Vaughn referenced it maybe one time this offseason in the playoffs and maybe that last game of the season against Miami. Just seeing that twitch that he's always had, fire. So I think that's what we'll want to see, winning his one-on-ones. Like, is he, you know, you would love to see him get back, not only winning his one-on-ones, but where people are like, hey, we got to have a plan for him, because if two people have to block him or if they got to chip him, somebody's going to get, you know, a single block.
Matt back out there today, playing the team drills and stuff. How do you feel about his progress into getting already first day already back out?
Yeah, Matt's done. We've had some guys back with Tre'Davious, his rehab and just the way he attacked it, and it reminded me of the way Thomas Davis in Carolina attacked three ACLs and things like that. But you know, I think he's the same way. He's attacked everything with his rehab. And this was probably as good as we could have hoped that he would be starting camp. And we got to manage him. We got to be smart. And he's a competitor. He's going to want to practice every day. I don't think that's realistic, but it's good to see him out there. Like anything, I'm sure he's probably things he's going, man, I used to make that play, or I would have made that play if I'd, you know. But I think over time we'll see him blending back in. But you know, we missed 58 last year. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that. So it's good to have him and that edge. You know, we all know he's not going to give a long speech or anything like that. But Matt's got a toughness, an edge, a presence that our defense needs, and so it's good to have him back.
Where do things stand with Micah Hyde at the moment?
You know, I think nothing has really changed from, you know, I think Micah made some. Straight up comments around his softball deal about where he was at, and we talked, and he came out to practice one day, and we had talked before that, but I think Mike is in a really good spot. He's enjoying his family time, but he's staying ready should the right opportunity come, you know. But we haven't done anything in addition to where we kind of left things off in June.
Josh talked about going to Nashville, having some of the offense come to Nashville. He said it was more than just being on the field. He talked about building relationships, going to dinner, all that kind of thing. In the grand scheme of things, what does that mean to you or to the team that they get together and do things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously want them to get together to throw and stuff out there, but it's exactly what I was referring to here, coming to St. John Fisher, getting away. That's a getting away from their. Because when you're in your home city, like if I don't leave when it's time for vacation, if I don't leave and go somewhere and I sit in Buffalo, I'm going to end up in the office or doing stuff around my house. This is kind of forced bonding, you know, when they went to Nashville and guys are hanging out. Nobody's trying to get out to go do something with someone else. And, you know, that chemistry, that bond that you form off the field really helps you, especially when adversity hits. And every team's going to go through it. A side of the ball, an offense may go through a funk. And having that trust and that camaraderie helps you work through, you know, the highs and the lows.
How does your perception, if it changes or not, change or differ from past camps, knowing that you're coming in with 43 new additions, probably the most since 2018? I know some of the guys that are coming back are Josh, you've got a quarterback. But how does your perception change at all?
I mean, listen, I think, John, some year there are going to be some newer faces. But I think we've also, some of the guys that are here, I think we do have a good number of guys that maybe weren't in key starting roles that are here. And then we have brought in competition. I think it's so important. Find as much competition as you can at every single position that you can afford, and that will challenge each other to be the best they can be. But it, again, every team is also a new team. You're always going to have new faces. You know, if you look at most NFL rosters 4 years ago to where they are today, it's crazy. The turnover, you don't realize it. And I think this just happened to be one of those years. We tried to, you know, we
obviously 2020 was a heck of a year for us. We tried to, all right, let's see if we can get over the top in 21, and you know, we brought Emmanuel Sanders in and a couple pieces, but we had a lot of and then we brought in Vaughn. We tried to add a couple pieces here or there each year and keeping the band together, you know, but due to age, contracts, the business itself, this just, you know, was one of those years where there was probably a little more turnover of bigger names. And, some of the guys we mentioned, but I think we've talked about it before. It was a lot of guys that had a C on their chest. And so we are counting on more of our younger players that have been here, what I was referring to step up into some of these new leadership roles.
Do you have a position battle you're particularly excited for?
No, I think the biggest thing that I love now is we've been training. We've had these guys since April, May for the rookies. And as I was saying earlier, Catherine, it's shorts and T-shirts. And so I am always excited to watch the padded periods, the plays that matter. I mean, we're not bringing guys to the ground, but one-on-one pass rush, 9-on-7, you know, who's coming in there thumping, just some of those things. And then I think we're all going to be interested. And I don't know how much we'll be able to tell in practice, but this first couple preseason games, how this kickoff thing is going to unfold. And, you know, I think that's going to determine, you know, some of the final roster spots on all 32 teams.
How has, Coach Babbitt, his approach? What are your thoughts on Coach Babbitt's approach?
Just his energy. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's always had to bottle it up. And, he wakes up like he slept with three cups of coffee. I mean, but it's great energy. It's positive. The hardest thing for him is probably not being as hands-on at one position, you know, whether it was safeties or linebackers, doing the whole thing. But, just even our setup here, the way the defensive staff is set up, it's right outside mine and Sean's office, and I had my door open yesterday, and he was going through everyone's drills. I mean, he had all their assignments down. I was getting off the phone, but it was like he was sitting next to me. I mean, he probably was standing up, like coming out of his seat. So I love the energy. I think it's good. I think our players feed off of it. Bobby is a super smart guy, and you know, he could have had some opportunities to leave and be a D coordinator. I think he was going to, you know, definitely be offered, you know, at least a position or two outside of here. So, you know, we're excited that it worked out timing wise for him to take over.
Are you watching the Hard Knocks with your old buddy? And are you sending text messages through each?
I have not seen it. I've seen some snippets. Obviously, some people on some text threads forwarded some of those pictures when I looked like I was 12. Less responsibility, less gray hair. Man, I'm better him than me going through that. Let's just say that.
Yes, that answers the next question.
We are not up for Hard Knocks. Thank y'all.
There's Brandon Bean earlier today, ending with a little bit of levity there at the expense of Joe Shane and the New York Giants. I think, you know, better him than me says all you need to say about the way that show has kind of portrayed that organization here through the offseason. You know, these GMs, and you know, Pete Welly was talking to us about it last hour. These GMs know what they're doing. I mean, they're all extraordinarily bright, connected, charismatic guys. But with the camera on you all the time, they're going to catch you messing up. They're going to catch you saying things that don't make you look as sharp or charismatic as you normally are.
And people could say it's not true. I think it's 100% true that you act different when the camera's on you. Maybe you forget it's there every once in a while, but if you're giving a talk, a speech, anything like that, you're not going to be yourself. So I thought it was interesting when Matt Parrino asked that same question to Sean McDermott in a different way. McDermott just kind of pivoted off of that and said it's great for the fans, which, okay, it's great for the fans, but you didn't really answer the question, would you want it or not? Bean made it clear, no. They might not have a choice, though. Like, at some point, the NFL is going to tap you on the shoulder, just like they did with the NFC North. Used to be, hey, you're a team that missed the postseason last year, and you have the same head coach, so you're eligible. Well, that's not true anymore. They want more content. And the idea that we're going to have cameras in season following around the Bengals, the Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens, That may be coming to the AFC East someday.
We are live from St. John Fisher University, day one of Buffalo Bills training camp 2024. We've got an entire practice recap to get to here during happy hour. Next hour, we'll get to a round of shots. We've got joining us next in the Ace Swim and Leisure hot seat from 13WM Sports and BuffaloPlus.com, the icon, the Hall of Famer. What else can we bestow upon Mike Catalano?
Yeah, 36 years of camp. Is this the most peaceful one? I mean, at least the star of this. We'll talk to Mike Catalano, get his thoughts on some of these camp battles we're going to be experiencing today and throughout camp.
866-4326 if you want to pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
A Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Day one of practice for the Buffalo Bills in the books here at Fisher. No injuries to report today. Things looking good. Matt Milano practicing fully today. Head coach Sean McDermott likes being back in town.
Great to be here. We believe in going away to camp. We've talked about that before, namely because of a couple of reasons, one of which is for our team to continue to come together and bond and develop that chemistry that you're going to need, that we're going to need.
Next practice coming up tomorrow morning here at Fisher. Rochester Red Wings home tonight. They take on Lehigh Valley. Getaway Wednesday in the majors sees the Pirates defeating the Cardinals 5-0. Reds over the Braves 9-4. Games in progress in the majors. We've got the Mariners leading the Angels 1-0. Astros up on the A's 2-1. The Rockies beating up the Red Sox 13-2 in the fourth. Jim Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
Meet
or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia back on the Fan Rochester, back live from the Pelicano Pavilion at St. John Fisher University, and day one of Buffalo Bills training camp.
Yes, 13 wham, Buffalo plus, and do we lose count, or how many camps have you covered here, Mike?
Well, if you go back, and got to go back to Fredonia, it was really when I started. I think this is 36 for me.
Wow.
36 years. Of camps.
And it's changed a little bit, I would imagine.
Oh, my God.
Just a little
we were
bit.
Talking today about Fredonia. It was nuts. I mean, they were out in a field, you know, and they were in pads like the whole day, two-a-days. There were no fans or just a few people who, you know, showed up. And by the way, this was Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, right? This was these guys, and it just was so, so different. And then it all changed. Obviously, when they came here. And, I mean, I think it's been great. Great having them here. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Who stood out today?
That's interesting. You know what stood out to me? And we were talking about it. The offense makes some plays, right? They celebrated everything today. Right? A touchdown. Spiking the ball. Celebrating. I don't think it's meant to show up the defense. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it was about energy. Certain guys bring energy. I'll say who shows up. Mac Hollins shows up with that. I don't know what that thing is he's wearing. He's had that little, you know, with the frayed ends that he had on. And he brings energy on the field. And I just saw him walking up the steps with no shoes on.
Yep.
I mean, that's a guy, and Josh even talked about it, that's a guy who brings energy to that room, which is, I think, an important thing.
Yeah, it's something we're looking at number 17 here today, too. And what did you make of him wearing hoodie, was it? A little warm for that today. Is he trying to make a statement? Is that a fashion statement, or is that let's lose some pounds? Or?
I know. Maybe he's got a deal with somebody with a hoodie. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is. I just saw, who are we watching? Keon was just walking out with a sweatshirt on. I don't know. I don't know what goes through guys' minds. Sometimes some guys deal with the heat or like it, want to be warmed up like that. Maybe it helps him. Maybe it makes him feel a little bit better. 17 looks pretty good, and man of the people. Like, he's out there slapping hands with every fan. I got a shot. It's on my Twitter account, X. A young woman from Holy Childhood waiting and waiting for Josh to sign the ball, and then he comes over and signs it. I mean, it's fantastic. It's just great stuff, and he, you know, that was an effort. Like, that's all the way around the place and then staying for autographs, and that's what he did.
Can you think of a camp that has started with as little drama, as little injury as what this camp has started off? Nobody on the pup list.
I know.
No real, like, massive storylines. Yeah, it feels like every year at camp there's something.
I just want that on the record that it's Danger who brought that up, right? While we're standing here in Fisher.
I don't believe in superstition.
No, I know. Neither do I. I don't think so either. No, it's, hey, that's what you want to be. You don't want these nagging things that go on. There is nothing with the team. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, at times there have been players we've been waiting to hear from. You know, maybe last year at camp, you know, maybe a wide receiver or something on how things are going. And none of that today. I think the pecking order of the team has changed now, just in terms of, look, there's a lot of guys trying to prove what they need to be with this organization. In the past, and Brandon just mentioned it, like, there's a lot of captains that are gone, right? A lot of guys who earned that and were leaders in that way. So the vibe, I think, of the place has changed. And that can be a big positive. There's negatives to it too. There's a sense of where you can relax a little bit because you know those guys got it. And then there's a part of you that's like, yeah, but you know what? Eventually things turn over, and this is one of those years.
Buffalo plus 13 WHAM, Mike Catalana, our guest. Certainly we talk about the wide receiver battle, but the safeties here, Mike, and a guy who's getting quality reps today, Damar Hamlin.
Yeah.
I mean, is he going to be a big contributor? Brandon Bean had some interesting comments about Hamlin today, too. Like, he doesn't have to go through all the first time in pads, the first time getting a hit, the first time being in the stadium. It's all in the past now.
That part is in the past. And you remember when he was asked to play before, he played pretty well. He did. Last year was so odd, obviously, and Brandon mentioned those things. But when we see them in mini camps, at least some of those days, I thought Damar looked good. He looked energized. He looked like a player. That's why, you know, when
people would talk about, oh, he's on the team for this reason, that way. No, he had been a good special teams player and a backup who stepped in when they needed him to play. And he played a lot of games that year. He's going to play, right? He's going to play. Now, Mike Edwards is coming back from the injuries, and he's on the field, and they've had Taylor Rapp in here and all, and they've got the new kid that they drafted. But at the same time, now that doesn't surprise me at all, at least from what we had seen in the spring.
How much of a welcome sight was seeing Matt Milano out there?
Yeah, I think that is for everybody, and I think it was good to see him at the mini camp. So when you talk about not as much drama, but like, oh boy, is Milano out there? I mean, honestly, you sit and wait, is he going to be on the PUP list, right, which is available? No, he's out there. I think that's huge. It's huge for Terrell Bernard. I mean, when those two were together last year, they caused some damage on the field. And then the, you know, ill-fated trip to London, and then Milano was out, and then a lot of things changed. So, no, it's great to see him. And I have my eye on Dorian Williams. I just think that the athleticism he's shown, and then we look to a year ago when Bernard was, like, we were like, who's going to play linebacker?
Yeah.
And then eventually he was named it after his injury. And yet he went out there, and I thought the guy was great. I think he's one of the best players on the team. And a year ago, you wouldn't have even known he was going to be able to start.
13 Wham's Mike Catalana here. We're at St. John Fisher University. Day one, the Bills are off the field. Do the Bills have enough at the edge position? I guess time will tell on that, because Von Miller's also a player we're also watching, and I don't know if the expectations should be so high with Von Miller now that he's 35 years old coming off a big injury here, Mike. Or is he such a player in that rare category that maybe we could see the Von of old here?
Well, this is the first time he's going to have to sort of prove that, I guess, if you say, because he went down last year, right? He came back from his injury. It is a lot. Von is a positive guy. He talked all about, I'm going to be back for week one. That didn't happen. And then he was not effective to the point where the team admitted it, and he didn't dress for a game. That's a big statement with a guy like Von Miller. Now it's a year past, or at least the months since the end of the season. At his age, for what he's done in the league, you would think he might evolve into a pass-rushing specialist, which is what he's very good at. I mean, he's been an every-down player. I don't know if that's what their plan is. I mean, they like A.J., and A.J. Epenesa played well last year, but I do worry about edge rush, pass rush, all those things, right? It was okay last year.
You don't have Leonard Floyd.
And Leonard Floyd, he puts up numbers, doesn't he? Everywhere the guy goes, he does his job, he gets paid, he goes somewhere else is what he does. They don't have a guy like that. I do think if at any point they're in the market for something, it would seem like everybody's looking for corners and pass rushers. That's just the way it goes. I would think so because, you know, you got Javon Solomon. He's a rookie draft pick, put up incredible numbers, but you can't pencil in numbers. You just got to hope the guy can adjust to the pro game and contribute. So, yeah, it does concern me a little bit to see what they have. I mean, you mentioned Rousseau, who obviously they picked up the fifth-year option. He's a guy who showed a lot last year. They're going to need a lot from him this year.
Mike, from our vantage point here during practice, obviously the loudest cheers from fans when Josh walks by. Second loudest, I would say, is the rookie, Leon Coleman. I mean, I want to know what you saw out of him on the practice field today and just your overall sense of how he's taking this all in. It feels like he's become very, very popular with Bills Mafia in a very short amount of time.
He is, and I saw when he left the field, it was loud. Everybody was cheering for him. And at the same time, like, you do watch him. It was funny when he first talked and everybody saw the news conferences, and then he's funny on social and all that stuff. When I've seen him today and at the mini camps, he gets on the field. He's a worker. Like, he's out there. And I just happened to get a shot of him. You know, I'm a tremendous photographer. Just ask Dan and Jenna. Of making a catch. The guy has physical talent. He is definitely a worker. I think he takes pride. It appears certainly in his craft and wanting to get better. It's still going to be a step, but I asked Bean about him, and he said, you know, I got friends in the league texting me, or people going, like, hey, I don't know if this guy can play, but he's funny. Like, he's a funny guy. He is. But I do think he's a guy who takes his job very seriously, which he should. And he looks the part. And he's a big kid. Like, he stands out.
Well, I was going to say that. That was the first thing that I noticed when we talk about the wide receiver position group. And I know that that's something that a lot of people are going to have their eyes on when they come to watch practice. Boy, it feels like they've got themselves covered. You've got a group of big guys.
Yeah.
When you look at Hollins, when you look at Coleman, when you look at Justin Shorter from last year. You've got the smaller, you know,
yeah.
the guys like Samuel, the guys like even KJ Hamler, like smaller guy, and Shakir. You've got, it feels like you've got depth with the sizes that we want at wide receiver.
What did Sean McDermott was trying to say? Look in the silverware and you go, what does this do? And I thought it was kind of interesting because, one, that's happened to me before. I have no idea what 97% of the things in that drawer do. But at the same time, he's like, we kind of know them, but we don't know really what they can do for this team. And you got Chase Claypool, too, a guy who's got a lot to prove, big guy. They do definitely have a more physically imposing wide receiver room. And then you add in the tight ends. That part, they look the part. Now they just got to be able to play the part.
Yeah, Mike, we do this thing on our show before the NFL season begins. Danger and I give our bold predictions. Danger, I'll leave it to you. Is this bold enough here? But it's a prediction that the Buffalo Bills will have a game one way or another determined on the new kickoff rule this year. In fact, maybe every team has that.
Yeah.
Interesting that that's how we kind of started practice today.
Yeah.
Seeing the new kickoff rule. So every year special teams is important in terms of determining the 53, but is it more important this year in regards to figuring out how the Bills take advantage of that?
I think it's fascinating. I think every team in the league is probably sitting there thinking this is either going to be Wild West of returns or it's going to be a dud. It just feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's going to be everybody thinks this is going to happen and the opposite happens. I don't think they really know because you just don't have... Yes, you can simulate it and whatever it is, but then you're going to play it live in those settings where guys have been on the field, played a bunch of snaps. Now they're out there for this kickoff, and depending on the guy that you have. I think the preseason that way is going to be fun just to see the kickoffs.
It's visually stimulating.
Yeah, it really is.
And it really, like, you want to see it a certain way, but when you see it for the first time, you really look at it and you're like, oh, that's kind of neat. It's going to be jarring for a lot of fans.
It doesn't look NFL. Right?
Right. No.
It doesn't. It does look like the USFL or Canadian, like it was things like that would happen. But I was all for the onside kick thing where they wanted to do, what, 4th and 20 or 4th and 15. And somebody said that's gimmicky. The onside kick is gimmicky.
Yeah.
Kick the ball, kill the man with the ball kind of thing. Like, I always thought that, but that one didn't pass. But the kickoff's going to be fun.
Yeah. Buffalo plus 13 WHAM, Mike Catalana. What other positional battles? We talked about the safeties, we talked about wide receiver. Certainly the defensive line's always going to be good. Anything else you're keying in on here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everybody wants to see what happens with the running back. I think they want to run the ball. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt, you know, James Cook is the guy that they want to exceed what he did last year. You know, the things that we always talk about, ball security and all those things. I think he's a tough kid. I think he's had a lot of carries before. I think they want him to be that guy. But let's see what happens behind him. Let's see what Davis can do coming in as a rookie. You know, he's a guy that's had that. And I liked Ty Johnson last year. Now, I'm not talking about position battle where I don't think that James Cook's not going to – I think he's going to be the starter. But I do think you've seen it in games before. Like, if it's not going the way they want, somebody else is going to be on the field. So I think that'll be interesting because I do think there's an emphasis on running the football.
Mike Catalana, 13 WHAM Sports, BuffaloPlus.com, our guest in the sports bar, live from St. John Fisher University and Buffalo Bills training camp. What are you, Dan and Jenna, working on that we can check out tonight?
In fact, in about 2 minutes, we're going to go over there and we're going to record today's podcast or today's video. We do that basically every day of camp. We do our weekly podcast we just did, which was about storylines coming into camp. It's a daily thing. Dan's going to post sights and sounds, all those things that go on from camp. I love it. I love having them here in town. I love them having them in our neighborhood. And I love to be able to put daily content out for people. So right now and every day, we're going to be talking about our pass catcher of the day. We're going to be talking about what we saw, what we heard, and interacting with fans today, which I thought makes Rochester look great, which I'm very proud of.
I'm sure you're going to be happy to learn that I've had people reach out to me saying how funny you are when you dish on me and Met fans at the end.
I'm a very funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, can you at least let us enjoy this?
Want you to enjoy it.
I
want you to enjoy it. Enjoy it a little more. And then the crash down is going to be, it's going to be special. You're giving me more than I could have hoped
for
this year.
I'm just wringing my hands. We didn't expect this year.
I thought they would quit like they did last year, but they hung in there. And they're going to play the little song, OMG. It's so cute. It really is.
Hey, McNeil is hitting bullpen last night. They get a little more help in the bullpen here, yeah. Mike. I mean, they could go for the sweep here tonight of the Yankees. Like, in New York, Mets exceeding expectation. Yankees, not exceeding expectation.
I know. The Yankees are in trouble. That is not a very good baseball team when you lose that much. And you lose three times to the Mets.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's a reason to fire everybody.
Make sure you say it a little bit less loud next time. The Yankee fans don't want to hear that. Mike, it's great having you here. Good to see you again. Would you say 36 years?
Yeah, it's probably 36 different years of camp. I know.
Well,
I started when I was 9 years old, so that's good. So.
Mike Kettle out of 13 Web Sports and Buffalo Plus stopping by the sports bar. Thanks, bud.
Let's go, Mets.
There it is. You had to get that in there, that last jab. Let's go, Mets. Mike Catalana.
I just want to say, Philly's lost to the Twins today. Blew a lead. So, it's a long season.
It's a long season. It is a long season, Gino. Always appreciate Mike Catalana stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia to share his thoughts here at Buffalo Bills training camp. We are live from St. John Fisher University. Man, what a treat to be here for practice earlier today, kind of take it all in. We have some notes that we can share from today's session, things that we saw, things that we learned. We also had some time earlier with Bills and Sabres COO Pete Goeli, and I thought it was an informative conversation. We learned a lot.
Yeah, we can talk about that. And in happy hour, too, there is one guy that was out there seeing significant time that, all right, maybe this is actually a starter we didn't have going into this whole process. It's day one of camp, but just passing along what we're seeing here.
Yeah, we'll absolutely get to that and more next. Happy hour is on the way. If you want to pull up a stool and join us, feel free, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.